The Coin Week podcast is brought to you by PCGS, the standard in the rare coin grading industry. To learn how PCGS's new NFC anti-counterfeiting technology can benefit you and your collection, visit www.pcgs.com. Speaking of PCGS, today on the Coin Week podcast, we interview PCGS President Brett Charville. Brett Charville was wrapping up his trip to the PCGS Members Only Show at the Bellagio in Las Vegas when we recorded this interview. We discussed the Legend Rare Coin Auctions Regency 41 sale and how PCGS is leveraging new technology, including the NFC chip, to protect collectors and coins going forward. It's a major revolution in the way graded coins will operate in the numismatic marketplace, and we get more information about how this was developed. We talk about this and more next on the Coin Week podcast. Hi, Brett. Thanks for joining me on the Coin Week podcast.
Hey, Charles. Thanks. I really appreciate being here.
I take it, judging by the time we're having this phone call, that you're just a little bit past waking up. I hear it was a well-attended show. Of course, coin conventions have been at a premium lately due to the COVID situation. Plus, of course, you know, there was the big Legend Regency auction number 41 last night. So you must have been very busy.
Yeah, so we're here at I'm here at the Bellagio for the PCGS Members Only Show that just took place in conjunction with the Legend auction that had the Moreland collection portions of the Moreland collection being sold last night, and this is our fifth Members Only Show in a pretty short period of time here over the last 3 or 4 months. As you probably know, Charles, we have our normal Members Only Shows, which take place all across the United States. We typically have a few a year in Las Vegas, at least one in New Orleans, and then we have a smattering around the country. We like to go to Philadelphia, San Antonio. We actually had one on the schedule originally for Phoenix for this year that ended up getting canceled because of COVID-19. So in response to, you know, everything that's happening right now, we have had these shows all take place in Vegas, all at the Bellagio. They have really great safety protocols in place. They give us just, you know, massive, massive room, you know, all social distancing guidelines, people wearing masks, you know, hand sanitizer, super soakers being, you know, sprayed into the crowd and stuff like that. Yeah, and that's great. And this is the last one that we have here until December. The first week of December, we have our final one for the year, which is actually at the new Park MGM hotel.
Obviously, you know, the Cardinal Moreland $1,794 was offered, you know, and that was a record-setting coin when it sold last. And with all the pre-sale marketing and news surrounding this coin, it's always disappointing when a coin like that doesn't sell. But overall, looking at the Legend auction in its entirety, one of the things that stands out to me is something that probably 2 or 3 years ago nobody would have expected. There's been an incredible resurgence for coins priced between $7,500 and $25,000, maybe upwards even to $50,000. The Regency 41 sale had quite a number of these coins, and the prices were either at about the expected levels or slightly above. And I saw the same thing at the last Heritage and Stax Bauer sales. So from your position in the industry, are you seeing this resurgence in this material at PCGS in terms of the number of coins being submitted? And as somebody who is formerly in the trenches selling coins yourself, is this a different environment than when you left that part of the business?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to echo your sentiment, you know, you mentioned coins $7,500 to $25,000. I would actually probably even, you know, take it one step further and remove that kind of lower barrier. I mean, I think everything up to 25,000 and probably a little bit higher, we're seeing a lot of really good price action on. And, you know, I was always a hobbyist. I was always a coin collector as a kid and, you know, tried to trade a little bit and stuff like that in high school and college and stuff. But really, you know, I started in 2005, at Heritage. And so my first A&A I went to was the San Francisco A&A in 2005. And that was, I think we're now kind of approaching, that 2005, 2006, 2007, probably the best coin market that I had ever seen. I didn't realize that I was coming into a really good coin market, right? And I think we're about there. I was talking to, John Albanese, a few weeks ago, and he said, I'm almost scared. I'm scared to use the word hot with the coin market, almost like I'm gonna jinx it, but really we are. We're finding ourselves in a hot, coin market, hot overall collectibles market. To your point, the price action on a lot of, the mega coins, have been performing very well. Yeah.
Well, I think this must reflect a resurgence in coin submissions and more interest in the hobby than we had during the last coin slump a few years ago.
Yeah. So I've been at PCGS for about 2 years, and a number that we're really, really proud of that we talk about a lot internally, externally, is we have our Collectors Club members. So, collectors, for direct submission privileges at PCGS, they pay an annual subscription, they get access to our magazine, and then they get, their ability to submit directly. And we have, right now, over 19,000, it's approaching 20,000 Collectors Club members, and which gets our magazine up circulating over 20,000, print magazine and stuff. I'm under the impression that our Collectors Club, the only organization actually that's bigger in the entire numismatic industry, is the ANA. And that Collectors Club number for us in the 2 years that I've been at PCGS has gone from about 14,000 members up to about 19,000. So we're seeing, just incredible growth in direct, I hate to use the term retail, but wholesale retail. I mean, direct submissions from collectors that are interested in the product, they're excited, about filling out their collection, working directly with us. And it's been really exciting to see. Yeah, absolutely.
So there have been some big changes in the way threats of the hobbies have manifest over the last few years. A lot of very deceptive counterfeits have come through the pipeline. And unfortunately, these counterfeiting efforts are not only focused on coins, but on holders as well. So that must have been part of the impetus behind the research and development of PCGS's NFC-equipped holders, a program that you rolled out last year for the Secure Plus level and are now using for everything. Can you explain the idea behind this technology and how the total integration of this into all PCGS holders going forward will benefit the collector?
Yeah, it's really exciting, and it's, I understand that the role I'm in here as the president of PCGS, I'm at the head of a company that has done some really transformative things over the years for the hobby, and it's really exciting that this is probably really the thing that I've been able to be a part of in the 2 years I've been at PCGS that really is really a big step forward for the hobby, for the industry as a whole. And to kind of go back all the way back to 1986, PCGS was founded. I believe a year later, NGC was founded. And for about 35 years now, the grading services have really, and others have came and gone, and there's some lesser players and stuff like that too. And the grading services have came and gone, and a lot of things they've done have always been in tandem. So certified grading, PCGS and NGC were founded about a year apart from each other. Things that have happened in my lifetime that you really don't think about when you're a collector or a dealer, that now in this role I think about a lot. But you think back to the pronged holder, right? The holders that now PCGS and NGC have, where you can see the edge of the coin. PCGS and NGC more or less did plus grading together. PCGS invented the set registry about 20 years ago. NGC followed, pretty soon thereafter. There's been other sort of innovations that were usually pretty neck and neck. And what's exciting about this is that this is a big step forward. And as I understand it, we're the only grading service that is, spending the money and moving in this direction. So, the way the technology works, it's very similar to, the chip or the tag that is in, pretty much every credit card, that exists in the world now. and it allows you to tap your smartphone, I think iPhone 8 or later, and then most of the more modern Android phones, you tap your phone up against the holder. It asks you if you want to open up either our app or a web page if you don't have the app downloaded, and you can instantly verify the authenticity of the coin. And the coin, the holder, the slab, everything.
When a collector or a dealer uses their phone to read the chip, the coins themselves aren't being tracked. So this isn't a method that could be used or is being used to track the location of a coin. This is essentially just being released as a verification tool so that the dealer or the collector can have the peace of mind that they are buying a genuine PCGS holder with a chip that matches a certain number.
Yeah. So the primary two benefits of the chip that I would say are, the on the spot, you're adding a layer of 128-bit encryption to the holder. So it makes it extremely hard to counterfeit. I don't want to say impossible because, nothing's impossible. But it makes it extremely hard to then counterfeit our holder with the chip inside of it. So if you're verifying it, if you're tapping your phone up against it and you're seeing this is what it says it is, you can really, really be confident that it's, the genuine article. The other big feature of it is simply, an improved user experience. So imagine, you're at a coin show and you want to, look up, you go to a dealer's case and you pull a coin out. You want to know, he quotes you, $2,500 for a coin. You can tap it on your phone. The PCGS app opens up. You get the CoinFax page. You get all the information, the auction records, PCGS price guide, any other little data bits and points comparables that CoinFax has to offer, all just pop up on your smartphone instantly. And there's a lot more that we can do with user interaction too that will hopefully get you down the line that can kind of create a better experience when trading PCGS product. Yeah, and it's something that we're really not focused on is any sort of there's no location tracking or anything like that. It's not really meant to do anything like that on our end.
So to be clear, this isn't some kind of Find My Coin feature.
Correct. No, not at all.
a feature like that might be helpful for those of us like me who are absent-minded.
Yeah, no, that would be maybe a couple years down the line.
This is also being implemented in the new PCGS banknote line of certified holders. So it won't just be coins that are impacted by this new technology. PCGS plans to release this on everything, including banknotes.
Yeah, so PCGS banknote, which launched at the beginning of the year in our Southern California offices, has the exact same technology in the holder as well. Originally, we rolled this out this last spring just for our Gold Shield product, which is typically higher value items that are submitted to us via more expensive service tiers like Express or Walkthrough. So now with this new chip, it includes every single product that PCGS offers, down to a $5 modern coin, all the way up to a $1,794 is gonna have the chip in it moving forward. We also updated our plastic. We're down in the historically down in the lower right portion of our obverse of our plastic, there's been the PCGS logo. Now down in the lower left, there is a PCGS NFC chip logo. And then on the back of our standard insert, there is a NFC chip label marker as well.
I assume it's going to take some time for collectors to get accustomed to seeing the preponderance of the new NFC embedded holders in the market. I see that going forward to the end of the year, you're offering a crossover service, and that's $12 a coin for a reholder?
Yeah. And so we've done a couple hundred thousand so far this year, and now that it's in everything, that'll be closer to like 3 million things a year, moving forward. And a lot of it too is it's funny that it's for me. I was at the coin show yesterday, and I collect still, and I'm looking in people's cases at stuff, and I need to start getting in the habit of it. Really is a better user experience to just tap my phone on the holder But, you know, we're all such creatures of habit, right? And I'm used to, you know, opening up a browser on my own and looking up the coin and looking at auction records or, you know, other sales prices and stuff like that. So it's interesting, you know, as everybody kind of migrates to this mindset of, okay, you know, if it's a PCGS holder, I can just tap it and get all the information that I need.
As someone who spends a lot of time studying the history of the industry, not just coins, but how the market works, one of the things that fascinates me is how much innovating the grading services have done since they were established. And ideas that seem novel at first to collectors become second nature over time. One thing I think we should keep in mind is that these innovations aren't going to stop. So I imagine the NFC chip isn't the only thing you guys are looking at that will help take the industry to a radically different place in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah. And to your initial point, it's really interesting. It shows you how much we now almost as a hobby and as a collecting community almost kind of take for granted, you know, so much that third-party grading has done. You know, a couple examples I can think of off the top of my head. I was on I'm in some coin Facebook groups and stuff, and some of them I'm really like, you know, low key, like people don't, you know, I don't post. I'm just kind of lurking, you know, seeing what people are saying in the market. And a guy had posted, he had gotten like his grandfather or something had given him like 100 PCGS sample slabs that were the old, we did a run when we had the post-Rattler. It must have been right when we switched from the Rattler. We put a bunch of like Circ wheat cents into, you know, our holder in like 1989 or 1990. And it was the poster of the post said, why would anyone holder these? This doesn't make any sense. And it's like, well, in 1990, you still had to explain to somebody, you know, there's this product where they put it in plastic and this is what it looks like. This is what literally what the product looks like. And, you know, the other example is, you know, I was at, HKCS, the Hong Kong Coin Show last year, and I was speaking with our, Malaysian Submission Center. And we were talking about samples, and he's saying, you know, I need more banknote samples. And we were I kind of asked why. And he said, you got to understand, you know, all these people collect banknotes. They've literally never seen a banknote holder before. Like I have to give them a sample so they understand what the product itself is, you know. And you and I are sitting here talking, we've been talking about putting a computer tag, a chip into a holder. And it's, you know, we're not even thinking about that they're at the fringes of the market. And in the past, there have been people that couldn't even visualize what a PCGS holder looked like if you didn't physically show them what it was. So it's interesting, very interesting to see the evolution of it. And, you know, we're always working on stuff. You know, that's why I really like being at, you know, Collectors Universe, you know, PCGS's parent company and our sister company, PSA. Is that we've always considered ourselves very much at the forefront in the hobby for technological advances. And, you know, maybe I'm a little biased, but I feel like, you know, our even down to the things of like, you know, our user experience on our website and stuff like that, we feel like we're always very up to date. And that's something that, you know, people that have ran PCGS before me have always understood the importance of. I feel like I understand the importance of is, you know, on the technology side, moving our hobby forward. And we are working on some cool stuff, and I think the next, you know, 5 or 10 years, we'll see, hopefully maybe sooner than that, maybe next 2 to 5 years, we'll see some pretty radical, you know, positive changes of how we collect and how we interact and, you know, ultimately, you know, how we view and participate in our hobby.
I've had the good fortune of holding and seeing prototype holders from both PCGS and EGC before the companies actually launched. And even at that time, certain decisions that we take for granted today, like the layout of inserts and where the grade is and all that, none of this was really decided back then. The companies that were helping to make prototypes didn't understand our market. And it took very sage expertise and ingenuity on the part of the grading service founders to make the right calls. And I think something similar has happened recently. Compared to the beginning when the services were focused on grading top-tier coins or mass market coins, the industry has really branched out. Now we have world coins being graded, we have tokens, metals, all sorts of exonumia. Of course, we have banknotes and objects similar to banknotes and holders. And now that it's sort of caught up, it seems like the industry has opened its expertise up to these areas so that there's essentially a way to experience this hobby no matter what you're interested in. And it's refreshing to me to see that the industry has responded to that instead of keeping such a homogenous and narrow focus on quote unquote investment type coins.
Yeah, and you just hit on a great point, Charles. And it's you know, to that point, you know, PCGS, you know, we were guilty of this years ago, and I think other larger organizations were, in that there was a little bit of initially, I don't want to say elitism, but you know, when you know, 15, 20 years ago, when grading was more of a novel concept, there really wasn't any, you know, there was almost kind of a snicker when somebody would want to, you know, certify and encapsulate a $100 coin, you know, or even like a $500 coin. And I think that, you know, as a hobby, we've done a good job. I think this is another area where we're kind of leading the way. If you look at a lot of the content that PCGS pushes out, be it on our website, be it with partners like you, be it with our magazine, the Rare Coin Market Report, is that, yeah, you have to have articles about collecting a budget Ike dollar set. There are people that still put their nose up to, you know, Franklin halves and stuff like that. And I remember, you know, somebody was telling me a story recently about, you know, a coin dealer who's, you know, he's in his 50s and he was putting his nose up quite recently to some of the prices that were being realized on Franklin halves and Roosevelt dimes. And another dealer pretty smartly responded to him and said, hey, you know, when you were starting out in 1975, did you consider a 1916 Barber dime a modern coin? Oh, well, no, absolutely not. Like, well, okay, well, that 1956 Franklin now is older, you know, than that 1916 Barber dime was when you started as a dealer. You know, I mean, just because a Roosevelt dime is still in circulation now doesn't mean that, you know, a 1948 Roosevelt dime in high grade isn't a rare and cool coin, you know. So it's interesting the way the hobby has evolved. You know, it's casting a wider net, and it's made it a lot more fun, because it isn't, you know, fully just an investor base or something like that are dealing in certified product. It's everybody. It's the whole market. It's a blast.
So Brett, one of the things that I think about, and I think maybe this dovetails into what you're talking about, is that one of the things about certified coins, especially when a lot of coins you see are AU or mint state or higher end, is that they can be very expensive to collect. And I don't know if your local or regional coin dealer can stock up on a wide array of that type of inventory. What do we need to do as an industry to make certified coins accessible at lower grades so that collectors can have that same peace of mind and confidence in the coins that they're buying at this entry level, you know, for classic coins, which would be circulated, as opposed to how the industry is more or less set up right now, where I think it more or less caters to high-grade modern coins or high-dollar classic uncirculated AU coins?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I think naturally we're already seeing, you know, a lot of that, and that a lot of the submissions we do get in on our economy tier, you know, are very, you know, heavily focused on a lot of collector coins and stuff. We do have a bulk grading program for Collectors Club members that can, you know, lower our submission prices a little more. You know, the fact of the matter is, you know, you kind of take it for granted, but I mean, most of the times it really requires just as many people, and it's just as difficult to grade a, you know, a Morgan in 64 rather than a, you know, yeah, your example, that XF Indian head cent or something like that. But, you know, we're always looking for ways to kind of properly segment, you know, our submission tiers and stuff like that, and really kind of maximize value for people, and really kind of put service tiers forward that people can use for and feel like they're getting good value, and it allows them to collect in those ways. Something that we talk a lot about internally is, you know, we really want to be, we want to be first in a collector's home when they start dealing with certified coins. So you have somebody, be it, you know, somebody young or old that's getting more and more into collecting, They're, you know, they could be spending $50 a month on coins, you know, or something like that. When they, you know, when they take the plunge and they buy that first certified coin, you know, from a branding perspective, from a user interface perspective, from a marketing perspective, we really would love to be the first coin, the first certified coin that every new collector buys. So it's certainly front of mind for us in getting through those challenges. Now, a lot of those first coins into somebody's home is a modern coin today. You know, people are more likely to go onto, you know, retailer website, a place like Atmex, and buy a certified Silver Eagle as their first certified coin that they buy. And we're always looking for ways to be part of that entry level part of the market.
Brett, do you remember the first PCGS coin you ever bought?
Yes, 1886 Morgan in 64.
Well, I remember mine. It was a 1958D Lincoln Cent and MS65 Red that I probably bought 25 years ago for $10, and I still have it, and it's still red. Brett, thank you so much for taking the time out of your morning this morning, maybe skipping breakfast to talk with us. Congratulations on getting this new technology into the marketplace, and we hope that it gives collectors the kind of peace of mind that they are looking for and sparks yet another evolution in the coin industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me, Charles. And I really appreciate listening to all these podcasts, and I'm It's been an honor to finally make your list to get on one. So this has been great.
If you like this podcast, please share with your friends. And remember, you can download every episode of the Coin Week podcast for free from the iTunes store. For Coin Week, I'm editor Charles Morgan. Until next time, happy collecting.